Welcome back, Champ Camp. Midday show live at Eagles training camp. Practice just ended. Joining us right now is Eagles tight end, Super Bowl champion, Dallas Goedert. Dallas, how does it feel when you hear that?
That's pretty cool. Hearing the Super Bowl champion's got a nice little ring to it. But, you know, we're on to the next year. Hopefully we can put another good one together.
You know, with that being said, Dallas, I know you had an odd offseason, if you will. So tell me, what was it like knowing that there was a potential? I mean, it's not now, but there was potential that you weren't going to be here. How did you handle that this offseason?
Yeah, I just kept going about my business, getting the body feeling right for whatever was going to happen. You know, it was emotional. You went with the sadness of leaving, the excitement of going to a new city and doing all that, and then you know, right back to the sadness. But I was really happy that we were able to work out a deal, come back, and be with all my brothers and everybody in the building that I got so much love and respect for.
What is it like to be in that scenario you were in this offseason? Because we, you know, I was curious how much you are aware of the rumors out there, what we're talking about. Like, every day it seemed like, he's gone. Oh, he's going to come back. Or maybe the Eagles are going to trade Goddard. But then you ended up back here. Is it a day-to-day thing? Do you try to disconnect and have your agent say, tell me what's going on? Like, what was it like for you, the day-to-day, month-to-month roller coaster before you knew you were going to be back here?
Yeah, like you said, it was definitely a roller coaster of emotions. I just try to leave it to my agent. He would call me and tell me something was going to happen, then it didn't happen. So, you know, I just waited up until something was set in stone before I believed anything. And, you know, I was an Eagle until I wasn't. I was still under contract, just restructured, so I never got cut, released, anything like that. So I've always been an Eagle. But, yeah, it was just when something happens, I was just going to accept my fate and move on and do whatever I had to do.
Well, we're happy you're back here, Dallas. It's been a good run, a really good run in an Eagles uniform. Been in two Super Bowls, won the one last year. Now, like you said, looking forward to this year. Let's talk about this camp so far. And once again, you've gone through this a lot. New play caller. Now it's Kevin Petullo, who's been with you guys for a while. How's camp so far? And now with Kevin Petullo, the guy running the offense.
Yeah, camp's been great so far. You know, we're getting really good work. You know, going to the meeting room, cleaning stuff up. You see a lot of positives out there, and that's what you should expect with an offense that's been together for so long. But, you know, I'm really excited for Kevin, for his opportunity. You know, he's waited a long time for this. He's seen a lot of good coordinators, been able to learn under some good guys, and what he's been doing for the offense, the little tweaks, the little changes, how he's calling it at practice. You know, it looks really good, but you never fully know until that first game, but I'm expecting big things from him. I think our offense is going to be in a really good position with him calling the plays.
You know what, speaking of that, and we know how this offense ran last year with, you know, we ran the ball a lot. Now we got A.J. Dillon, you know, and I know it's only been a couple days that we've been in training camp and all this other stuff, but has this offense changed at all, or is it still kind of going to be centered around the running game?
You know, it's hard to tell. I think the biggest positive about our offense is that we can win in any ways. You know, mm-hmm. We ran the ball so much this season, had so much success in that. We got to the Super Bowl and we didn't run the ball very well, but Jalen stepped up and passed the ball. So if the defense is going to give us looks, you know, the offensive line, the big boys up front, they love run blocking. They love doing all that. You know, A.J. Schmitty are so selfless on the outside that they're willing to lose a couple targets to win games. So it really depends on how the defense is going to stop us. If they're going to load the box and try to stop Saquon, we'll attack them through the air. If they want to double A.J., double Schmitty, you know, we'll hand the ball out to Saquon and let him do what he did last year.
You know what, speaking of that, I don't know how the conversation went, but was that somewhat of an adjustment for guys, especially when, you know, you're coming from an offense that – before Saquon got here, you know, the ball got spread around a little bit. So was that somewhat of an adjustment for everybody?
You know, there's always adjustments throughout the year. It was cool. AJ always talked about you don't know how many opportunities you're going to get. You don't know when the next one's going to be. So make the most of it. I think I saw something that he had the most broken tackles when he was covered one-on-one or something. So he lived that, and he tried to preach it to me and Schmitty, and just take advantage of the opportunities you're going to get, because it's special. And you got an O-line, you got a special running back like Saquon, you got a quarterback that can hold the edge so well with Jalen, and then, you know, when the opportunity is called, it seems like we make the plays more often than not.
Was there a moment last year, we're talking to Dallas Goedert here at Eagles training camp, where you started to feel like the team could be special? I know you always think maybe the start of the year training camp, like we got a good team, but last year was choppy, right? You start 2-2. You made the big play in New Orleans to get a win there, but 2-2, and then October hit and you guys seemed to hit a different stride. Then November hit a different stride. Was there a moment for you, a time period of the season where you started to think, hey, we got a chance here to do some big things?
Yeah. You know, it was it kind of felt the same as it did back in 2022 when we went to the Super Bowl. In training camp that year, I remember putting my arm around Miles and us being like, man, I think we got a really good team. And, you know, we traded for AJ that offseason, and that was kind of the time. You know, that was kind of a missing piece that we needed, and it really helped us that year. And I think it was the same thing. Once we traded for Saquon last year, and then we saw him out here at training camp, what he was able to do, how good he still looked, I think it was early on. You know, the season was a little rough, and we just kept saying, you know, that's the preseason. The first 4 weeks, you're just trying to gel as a team, trying to figure out what's going to work for you that year. And but yeah, it was really early on that I knew we had a chance to be really special.
Dallas, I'm gonna take you back to the Super Bowl because I'm curious about this, because going into that game, everybody talked about Kansas City and how good they are and all this other good stuff. But at what point in that game did you realize, like, man, we are kicking y'all ass. Like, y'all can't really do nothing with us. At what point did you feel like this was about to be a old-fashioned ass whooping?
Yeah, I mean, it was early. We had a lot of positive vibes. We had a lot of pain going into it from the Super Bowl a couple years ago. So I had good expectations. The way the game went, you know, after Zach Bond's pick right before halftime. But, you know, we were up 10 on them the first Super Bowl, and they were able to come back and win that game. So everybody was still so locked in that whole game up until the starters got pulled. You know, it was we were all going to make sure that didn't happen again.
Dallas Goedert with us here. All right, Hugh brought up the Super Bowl and the playoffs. You have been one of the best tight ends in the playoffs in terms of statistics, really in the history of the NFL. And you've got a chance to play in a lot of playoff games because the Eagles have been really good since you got here.
Mm-hmm.
What is it for you? Like, to take us inside your mentality in those big games. I think back to the big play against the Packers last year where you stiff-armed the D-back off you. Feels like big games, playoffs, Super Bowl. Dallas Goedert, we always count on you to make a lot of big catches. Is it a different mentality? Is it opportunity? What's it been like for you? Why have you been so good in those big moments?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. You know, in the playoffs, it's win or go home. And so, you know, everybody wants to say they raised their game. But it's just like always, you know, when I get the opportunity, I want to make it. We play for an incredible city. And, you know, once playoff come around, I never want to be that guy that loses a game, loses in the season, because I'm not going to have that on my shoulders all off season. So I just go out there and try to make plays, try to have fun doing it. And, you know, ultimately we play this game for the playoffs to keep advancing, to get that next game. And, you know, I just love it so much I want to stay out there.
What are you noticing with Jalen Hurts so far in camp? I mean, he's established now as one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. And you mentioned he played so well in the title game, Super Bowl. But, you know, everyone's always watching Jalen and how he's playing. What have you noticed with Jalen so far as he goes into, like, a new stage of his career now as a Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah, he looks good. You know, something that's so special about Jalen is he's always so locked into the moment. You know, like he said, he didn't even put on the Super Bowl ring because he's this year. I think it was the next week after the Super Bowl, he was already training for this year. Just because that man can't stop. He's got so much passion, so much competitiveness, and just wants to continue to get better. But just the command that he has in the offense, making checks at the line of scrimmage, adjusting the pass protection. He just keeps taking that next step, learning the game. Everything slows down for him. And, you know, I think it's just he's just going to continue to get better just because that's the type of person he is, how much effort he puts into, you know, just continually raising the bar.
Pads today, full pads tomorrow. Does it feel real now? You guys are fully back with the pads on?
Yeah, it definitely feels real. Once these pads go on, you hear a little bit popping, a little bit more trash talk. You know, it's what we wait all season for. That's the worst part about football is the off season so long. So it's really exciting getting the pads back on. Got a big week of pads, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm excited to see the young guys continue to grow and just continue to work on our detail.
What's it been like watching Nick Sirianni grow as a coach? I mean, when he came in here, you know, he wasn't a big name, like one of the hot coordinators. So we had to get to know him. And then you guys have had a ton of success, but I thought last year was clearly the best job he did. I mean, to kind of change things in the middle of the season, to go on the run. What's it been like for you watching him not just grow as a coach, but a leader too?
Yeah, you know, ever since day one, it seems like he's been the same person every day. Whether things are going good, going bad, he stays positive, and he just trusts so much in what he believes in. The details, the toughness, the effort that we play with. And, you know, ever since he's been here, he's held us all to a really high standard. But he does a great job of keeping us all locked in, paying attention to the right things, and he holds us accountable, whether it's good or bad, which I really respect. You know, he's not just yelling at you if it's bad. He's letting you know if it's good, and, you know, I think everybody out here wants to play for him, and that's the most important part with the head coach.
All right, we got to get your take on this before we let you go. We were just arguing about this before you came in. Now, by the time this happens here, your career is probably towards the end, if not over, but the Eagles sent out a survey to fans about the idea of a new stadium down the line, and maybe having a retractable roof for a dome. Where do you come down on the domes? I love the elements of playing outside, and as a fan watching, like the snow game in the playoffs. I got Hugh over here, who's talking about, you know, being warm in a dome. Where do you come down? Domes, retractable roofs, you played across the league, so you know what they're like. If Dallas Goedert could choose, what kind of stadium would it be?
I'm all about that outdoor. You know, I played from South Dakota, played at South Dakota State with an outdoor stadium in the cold. You know, playing the snow game up here last year against the Rams was an incredible experience. You know, I feel like it just – football is meant to be played outside, man. Basketball is an inside sport. Football is meant to be played outside.
See, thank you.
Whatever.
Finally, we get some sanity back on the show.
Whatever,
a football guy.
I ain't trying to hear that.
Yeah, he's not a football guy anymore. We took that card over. Dallas, we appreciate you hopping in here. And good luck this season. Robert Roonfield, congratulations again on the Super Bowl. Thanks, Dallas.
Appreciate it. Go Birds.
There he goes. Dallas Goedert with us. Listen to 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia live through the Tasty Cake Studios. I saved it for last, but I knew what he was going to say. I mean,
because he don't know no better.
He grew up in South Dakota.
He doesn't know better.
What are you talking about?
It's one of the best big game tight ends in NFL history.
He don't know no better.
You see that stiff arm in the playoffs?
Yeah, I did.
He doesn't know no better. Okay, because he didn't agree with you.
He don't know what it's like out there for real.
You keep telling yourself that.
He would stiff arm you into oblivion.
Man, listen, I get his young Thundercats what for, Kyle? Today.
In this heat?
Yeah.
You? No. Come on now. Hey, Hugh's got a sweat rag on in an RV with air conditioning.
For whatever reason, the air conditioning ain't air conditioned in the day.
Well, part of it is the sun beats down on this window. Yeah, it gets
We ain't got no Freon. Yeah. That's what they used to put in it. They ain't got no Freon. They don't even use Freon anymore.
What year is this?
They stopped using Freon a long time ago.
Yeah, they did. All right, 215-592-9494. Right before we got on the air with Dallas, he sat down. One thing that did come up just between the three of us that we noticed out there, and you were saying kind of the difference in football when you played to now, obviously pads and all that and two-a-days. But, Hugh, just watching the Eagles, and we talk about A.J. Dillon, how big he is, their offensive line, Dallas is a big tight end. They're just so big on offense.
Other
than Devontae's the one small guy, but he blocks for a smaller receiver, he blocks well. Hugh, they're huge. They're just a huge offense between Jalen's strength, Saquon's strength, right? Dallas is a big and a good blocking tight end, huge line, and A.J. is one of the strongest receivers in the NFL. They just impose their will physically, offensively.
And that's why when I sit here and we talk about what the Eagles should do and all this other stuff, they shouldn't go too far away from how they did it last year. And you heard Dallas say the same thing. Because when we were talking in the break, we talked about how physically imposing that they are on one side of the ball. You could sit here at practice and you could see how much bigger the offensive players are compared to the defensive players, especially at the skill level. You talk about the defensive line, Jalen Carter and all those guys, Jordan Davis, they're big up front. But, man, when you get to that second and third level, they look like Lilliputians. They're not that big. And when you're talking about playing against other teams, that factors into it. The physical, like physically imposing offense. You got the offensive line. I was looking at Lane and Jordan today. Twin towers. And then you talk about the two guards in the middle.
Yep.
I mean, they're physically imposing across the board. And not only that, when they get good blocking, you get Saquon Barkley and A.J. Dillon on that next level. Linebackers are making business decisions. And we ain't even talking about the secondary. You know, them Lilliputians back there, they don't want to tackle nobody.
Well, there should be no weakness on the offense. As long as Jalen plays well, I mean, I don't need him to be a top five guy. As long as he plays well, they should move the football and I think be even better than they were last year in totality on offense. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get back to all your phone calls in just a minute with the Dome, with the Phillies. But here, as we wait for Jordan Davis, who will join us shortly, we got to hit this. So, There was a story that broke, I think, early last week. It was on, the Foul Territory podcast, where there was a story about Castellanos and the Phillies. Rob Manfred apparently came into their clubhouse to speak. Rob Manfred's been going on a tour, the commissioner of baseball, to talk to different clubhouses. And the feeling I get is the players are sensing that he is trying to soften their stance on a salary cap, and that we might be heading towards a labor war in baseball within the next couple of years because the owners really want a cap, the players don't. And, you know, that's going to be a thing in a couple years. So, details have come out about the meeting in which Rob Manfred was in the Phillies clubhouse. Are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, here is the – I'm going to read you the way the story is described, Jeff Passan's story, and then I'll read you the exact excerpt.
Can't wait to hear
Philadelphia Phillies star Bryce Harper stood nose-to-nose with MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred during a meeting last week and told him to, quote, get the bleep out of our clubhouse if he wanted to talk about a salary cap, sources told ESPN. Here is what it said in the story. Quiet for the majority of the meeting. This is directly from Jeff Passan's story. Harper, sitting in a chair and holding a bat, eventually grew frustrated and said if MLB were to propose a cap and hold firm, players are not scared to lose 162 games. Sources in the meeting told ESPN. Harper stood up, walked toward the middle of the room, faced up to Manfred and said, quote, if you want to speak about that, you could get the bleep out of our clubhouse.
He's a Mormon too, ain't he? The Mormons be cussing?
Well, I guess if they're angry enough, anyone could curse.
I mean, have you seen him strike out? He'll drop an F-bomb.
Yep.
Okay, I didn't know that was a part of that, you know. I'm just saying.
What's your reaction?
For Rob Manfred to sit there. you know what? Before, let me say this. Before you even told this story, I already knew how this was going to go. Because you're asking them to give back money. Anybody who does?
Well, I remember. Well, so go ahead. You make your point. I think the stars will have to give back money. It actually could help the lower price players because there'll be a minimum salary.
No, I hear you. And the salary cap, but
every team would have to spend is probably a certain amount.
Yeah, but immediately the thing that I'm thinking about is the Shohei Ohtani deal.
Yes.
The
Bryce Harper
deal.
Yeah. No, you're right. That will hurt them.
Yes. And we've seen because this is similar to what is that happened in the NFL a couple years ago, because you know, when you look at MLB, when you look at all these sports, you have like your top tier stars, and then you have the Jimmys and Joes. Now, you're asking the guys that are making the most money to give back some money.
Well, like in a capped sport, the Juan Soto deal can't exist.
Yes, yes.
The Bryce Harper deal probably just had can't exist.
Yes, because with baseball, they tried to do this.
1994, there was a strike.
A few years ago. No, but like...
They fought a few years ago and there was a lockout. But 94, the World Series was canceled because they wanted the salary and the players won.
And that's why baseball has been trying to slow play this forever because like Shohei Ohtani is the coach to being a $1 billion man in baseball. And that's where baseball is going to. They're trying to curtail this. But, and this is the beauty of I guess it's the beauty and the curse of the NFL, is because the turnover and the NFL is so high.
Yes.
They can't, like the players can't, you know, they can't get together and stand firm to, you know, combat this. Baseball players can.
Because
of the longevity.
Yeah, I think in football, a player can't lose a year. What's the average, three?
3 years, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, well, all right, so Jordan Davis is headed over to our RV here. We'll get to more of this later. Obviously, it's becoming a big story. And
But that's not going to happen. They good luck with that.
Well,
that's all I have to say.
But they might lose a full season. I mean, if the owners want it that bad and the players are saying we're willing to lose a season, we might lose a season in a couple years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they had the lockout a few years ago. We'll get back to this stuff. We appreciate everyone holding on. We'll get back to your phone.
You know
calls
that cat
well.
From the style. He came in here with no shoes.
Yeah, he did. We're happy to have him. Let's welcome in our next guest, Super Bowl champion, Eagles defensive lineman, Jordan Davis. Jordan, how are you, man?
How we doing? Pretty good.
So, Jordan, all right, the first thing I got to ask you is you sit down, practice today, and I got to tell you, we got here our first day was, Wednesday we were here first day last week? And I'm over by the media tent, and I think Nick Sirianni and Howie's about to speak, and Hugh comes over. He's like, you see Jordan Davis? He said you look really good. You look
like
you're
slim.
Best shape of his. So tell us, how you feeling, and how did you get to the shape you're in right now?
Feeling good. You know, it's all about claiming consistency, and I think
probably in the later half of the year last year is when I really start to really emphasize that, just doing the right things, eating the right things, fueling myself the right way, and doing everything the right way, you know. And it comes out, it pays dividends. I lost 26 pounds, and I'm in a comfortable spot in my weight. And everybody keep telling me I look good, so if the ladies like it, I love it.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. But, hey, as a reformed fat guy myself,
no doubt.
Number one, how tough has it been for you to stay consistent, and how have you changed your meals? I mean, for me, for instance, I try not to eat after 7 o'clock, and I try to incorporate vegetables and stuff into every meal that I have, and, you know, my workouts and everything. So how has your diet changed?
I would say more so it's just cutting out the sweets. And
how tough is that being, though, man?
It's really hard, but the greatest thing that I've been doing is telling people no. You know, anything is offered to me that's not in the best way, you know what I'm saying? It's okay to have, a couple meals here and there, but my non-negotiables is no sweets, no added sugars, no nothing. No calories. I don't want to drink my calories. So everything that I do eat, I have to eat it. I can't drink. So it's just really been water and tea. And I think that's just been the best thing for me, is just cutting out the sweets, honestly, because the sugar isn't everything that we eat. You can get a bowl of grits and some sugar in it. So, you know, it's just the hardest thing is just really, being aware and saying no. And, you know, it's okay to, miss out on, the sweet stuff, because at the end of the day, the reward afterwards and how you feel afterwards is a lot greater.
So how did Mom feel about that when you told her you can't eat all the sweets and stuff that she likes to cook for you?
Well, let me tell you, during the holidays, I'm usually the one cooking, so, you know, it's been very easy for me. But, you know, it's just really a lifestyle change, and I think that's more so what I emphasize. I think the past, I've been doing it because of football. But my mindset has switched, and I'm doing this because of me. I want to be the best shape. I want to be in the best condition that I am. I want to be the best contribution to the team that I can be. And so when I changed my mindset about I'm not doing this for anybody, I'm not doing this for anybody but myself, that's when it really took off, and that's when I really claimed consistency.
So, Jordan, you mentioned mindset. I think it brings us right to now your role on the team this year, right? So you look the part. You look like you're ready to go. But now it feels like this is a year where the team is expecting a lot out of you. Milton Williams left, goes to the Patriots, a free agent. There's more snaps, it feels like, at defensive tackle than there has been your entire career. Your mindset as you go into a year where you realize the team is probably going to ask more of you for snaps and pass rush than they have before.
Definitely. And, that's been communicated to me since last year. And knowing that, when Milton goes off and he's going to get his big check and he's going to do great things with the Patriots, that is going to be a higher calling expected of me. I don't want to be that run stopper. I no longer want to be an anchor. I mean, of course I'm going to be an anchor. That's what I do, but I want to be more. And I think that, with the greater with great power comes great responsibility. You really have to take the bull by the horns. You really have to make sure that you're in the best shape of your life, because I'm not doing anybody but myself a disservice if I'm not in the best shape of my life. So it's just really about, just doing it. It's just going out there and doing it. And just knowing that my calling is higher this year, and meeting the bull head on.
Was that more of how you felt about it going into the season with the season you had, or was that like Vic or one of your coaches asking you, if you could change some things or do more? Was it kind of like that?
It was definitely me. Even times during last year, I wanted to be out there, second and long, third down. And eventually, later on in the playoffs, they let me stay out there on the third downs and second and longs and stuff like that. And I made plays and had good production. But it's just all about, I wanted to be out there and I wanted to make sure that I made plays. And, whenever opportunity comes with it, I want to, take advantage of that. And, that's just being, just to be the best player. And I think, with Jalen Carter being out there, he's down there 100% of the play. So I want to make sure that I keep up, and I want to make sure that I'm contributing to the team just like he is. So when we play in tandem, man, I feel like it's going to be a great thing.
And I know it's not – I mean, just, as a friend and, like your mentor, that when you get them sacks, man, that's where the bread – that's where that bread come from.
Definitely.
So, you know what I mean? You're trying to – just that bread.
Well, it's more so – it's just about – I'm just trying to win again. I'm just trying to win again.
I mean, that helps too, but bread. Bread too.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I'm just, you ain't got to say it.
You need a financial advisor.
No, I'm just saying. You're trying to get that bread. It's on here.
Look, we just try to get another ring, man. We got to do it one day at a time. And that's what we're doing exactly. And we're right on pace.
So a lot of talk so far in camp, and Nick Sirianni expressed this right away, that last year's over, right? Now we're on to this year. Does it help you and maybe your teammates from Georgia, that that's kind of what you did in college, right? Like, you didn't play at a school where winning wasn't the expectation. It was. You won at Georgia, and then you got back up, and you tried to win. Do you think it helps you that the program you played in college, every year the expectation is national title, and now here, 3 years, two Super Bowl trips, the expectation of all of us are Super Bowl again. Do you think it helps you that you played at that program mentality-wise?
Definitely. And that's one thing that I give credit to the Bama guys on offense is that we had the same outlook and we had the same mindset on both sides. We got defense, Georgia, we got offense, Alabama, and, you know, the philosophies are the same. It's just different people telling it. And everything that you hear from Landon, hear from Jalen, hear from Smitty, hear from N'Kobe, hear from Jalen Carter, hear from me, is all going to be pretty much the same message because that's what we know. That's the only thing we know. You know, when you go out there, we expect to win. We expect to win. Nobody plays this game. I don't care what team you're on. Nobody plays this game to lose. And so when we go out there, we want to make sure that we sync to our training, and we want to make sure that we're over-prepared so we're not nervous about the outcome. We want to be confident in ourselves, and at the end of the day, the work that we put in during the summer is going to translate to the season.
It feels like a weird question, but I got to ask. You feel like becoming one of the more veterans on the defense. Now, this is a young defense. A lot of young – I mean, guys, you've been here 3 years, but there's guys that are second-year or first-year players. Who stood out to you? Give us a young guy on defense that you feel is playing and really kind of leveling up this summer so far.
I'll say Keeley. Keeley.
Okay. He's got a shot to play a lot this year.
He definitely has a shot. And, you know, I'm not being biased or anything, but love Keeley. You know, he's been putting in the work, and the lot of the work that he's been putting in behind the scenes, and it's just great to see it come to fruition. And of course, you know, he's going against the best during practice, so that's also helping sharpen his iron. And so when he goes out there and he makes plays, I feel really proud, because just to see the amount of work and the amount of dedication and time that he's put in already, and for him to go out there and, you know, just go out there and have the confidence in himself to go out there and ball. And, you know, the sky's the limit for him. I mean, he's an amazing, talented player. He has all the measurables. And for him to go out there and, you know, go against the best, because, I mean, shoot, A.J. Brown, I consider one of the best in the league. So he's getting great competition every day, and I just can't wait to see him excel.
So what's the number for Jordan Davis this year? And remember, last time I asked you this, you had some numbers in your head. So this year, slim and trim, you know, getting ready for the season, Super Bowl champion, what's the number in your head this year for Jordan Davis?
I'll say one more than I had last year. I don't want to put any expectations. I don't want to put any numbers out there.
And be on the field on the money down.
Definitely, and be consistent.
What's Vic Fangio like year two now? The first year, you feel like you're getting to know him and trying to figure it out. Now you had a full year. You guys won the Super Bowl. Take us inside what it's like to be in a Vic Fangio meeting.
He's same way as he was last year. No nonsense. But I would say as the season went along, you start to see more and more of his personality and how he is as a person. And the way that he truly cares about this defense, He put his blood, sweat, and tears in this. And, you know, nobody's perfect. And we're not perfect. And he makes sure that he knows that we know that we're not perfect. But he's out there and he wants us to claim consistency. He wants us to be the best defense on the field. So it's a continuation of last year, and I'm glad that we had a continuation with the coaches that we had last year and Vic and the players that we have now, and just to continue on this consistency run, because that's what it all about. It's all about consistency. We can't look too far in the future. We can't look too far in the past, but we can look at where we are right now.
Did it feel real today with the pads on, and then tomorrow full pads?
Woof, yeah. I tell you, it was a dog out there. It was a dog out there, and if you listen on the radio, stay cool because it's humid out here. But it feels good to be back in pads, though. It feels great.
Fun watching. We're excited, Jordan. Congratulations again on last year. I know you're looking forward, but we're still celebrating. Congratulations on being a Super Bowl champion, and good luck this season.
Thank you.
There he goes. Jordan Davis with us there. Eagles defensive lineman from the University of Georgia. We appreciate having him here. Yeah, you asked Hugh what the number is. I think we all have a number, and you know what? I wouldn't be surprised at all, not only because he's in the booth with us, but just because of seeing him and hearing him, it feels like this could be a big year for him, and they need him. I mean, like, it's clear with all the losses they had at defense tackle, he's going to play more. Now, we'll see how he holds up over the full season.
Yeah.
But it's set up for him to play more than he ever has.
Yeah, man, and it's one of those things. I'm pretty sure for him to see Jalen Carter play as much as he did and be relied on as much as he was, and him to be here before that, it kind of felt some kind of way to him. And I was curious. That's why I asked the question, who was it? Was it the coach's idea or was it yours? It was his. And it was his to lose the weight and try to be out there, you know, a little bit more consistent. And, I mean, let's be real. the fact that this is a money year for him,
well, of course,
is a huge thing, because he's looking at it. I'm pretty sure he looked at the money that Milt got. I'm like, he said, "Hey,
you get too comfortable? What are you about to say?
Shucks,
you about to go Bryce Harper on us? Please."
Yeah, but it's one of those things, man, where you look at that. That's generational wealth.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
Well, it's a position that I think is becoming more valued now. As teams throw the ball quicker, interior pressure becomes more valuable.
And his size.
Yeah. He could put his hands up and just get in the way of the quarterback.
And let me tell you, regardless if it's here or somewhere else, he's going to get paid because he has that potential. He just needs to realize it. And it sounds like he realizes it here, and he wants to be here. So that's important. That's important.
Well, and look, I think if the Eagles can keep the Georgia kids together, and I think there's something to
continuity.
That.
Continuity.
Yeah, I think they want to. Now we'll see how he plays out. And the other challenge for Jordan is, I think at times he's put more weight on during the season. That's going to be the next challenge.
That's the thing that I asked him about, because
Well, he seems like he has a plan, which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is, this is clearly the best shape we've ever seen him here in the NFL. I mean, I just think ever as a football player we've seen him. I mean, you told me the other day, like, hey, look at Jordan on the field, and I turned around and saw it. But, like, having him sitting next to us, he's clearly in incredible shape. So, I'm expecting a big year out of him, probably his best year in the NFL. All right, quickly, we're going to have Elliot coming up. We'll get to all your phone calls. But just to quickly go back to the story that broke a little while ago at ESPN, Jeff Passan, about the nose-to-nose confrontation, Bryce Harper with Rob Manfred.
Bryce Harper's a big dude, too, man.
Can I throw one more spin I have on this story?
What's that?
Well, Bryce Harper said, and I'm going to read it to you word for word from the story, quote, "The players are not scared to lose 162 games." So to go to the CBA ends after next season, after 2026. You know what I'm thinking?
What's that?
This puts even more urgency on the Phillies to do this. There might not be a 2027 season. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen, but you have Bryce Harper, who's one of the most powerful players in the game, threatening that. So if I'm the Phillies and there is a chance we are headed toward a labor war, which could lose games or a season, Hugh, this window could just be now and next year. It could be over. I mean, the 2027 season, according to this story and Bryce Harper, they're willing to sit out a season to not have a salary cap. If that's where this is heading, the Phillies window might be the next 3 months and next season, and then it's over. Remember, Wheeler has said he's leaving after 27.
Yeah, that's strong.
So, like, this thing might not be the next 2+ years. It might be this year and next year, and that's it. It makes me even stronger that they got to go win a World Series now.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think, with that being said, I don't think baseball is going to go the way altogether. But it's just that I hear what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, not forever. Yeah, but
you want to strike while the iron's hot. Yeah, you don't know how it's going to play out. No, I get it.
Yeah, also, even if it's a shortened season, those can be Mickey Mouse kind of seasons. You know, like there might be a season in 27 that's either curtailed or just lost. 215-592-9494. Elliot's going to join us next. We got a lot to talk to him about, including a potential issue on the roster position, a guy that he and I both noticed flash today in practice, and what's all this about the training camp stats? First, J.J. Watt, and now an Eagle? We got to talk about it next. Shots fired about training camp stats. I'm on Elliott's side. We're going to get the stats from anyway. That's coming up next in all your calls. Midday Show live from Eagles training camp on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I thought against Jordan Davis a good amount over the last few years, I guess. Is it as different to go against him this year as he looks? I mean, obviously, looks a lot better.
I'm still getting limited reps right now, but, you know, he's doing a good job so far. You know, first day with pads, so it's hard to tell just from one practice. I don't really count any of the practices without pads. They're fake. It's not football. 7-on-7 doesn't matter. Stop tweeting about stats or whatnot. Doesn't matter.
Well, I disagree. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show.
Who
that was Cam Jurgens.
Seriously?
Yep. Cam throwing cold water on training camp stats. Speaking of, Elliot Shore Park's with us here.
What's up?
Who charts them better than anyone I know, and was charting them before anyone I know. Elliot, what's going on here? First it was Watt. Now it's Cam Jurgens. There's an attack on training camp stats. I wasn't here last week, but I read your response, I guess, with the afternoon show about Watt.
Yeah.
I thought you handled it very well. You're right. Why would you ignore the information in front of your face?
Yeah, so I view this a little differently. I'm just happy people are talking about the training camp stats. You see more and more teams or beat reporters across the league tracking them. It's better. The more times JJ talks about it or Cam brings it up, the more times other beat writers are going to start doing it. We're going to have more information. So obviously, I love the stats. I think I'm a better informed reporter because I have those stats. As to Cam saying 7-on-7 is not real football, yeah, it's not 11-on-11. I agree. That being said, the team does run 7-on-7 drills, so I would say they hold some level of importance. But yeah, as always, the stats need context, and boy, oh boy, do the stats today need some context. It was not a good day for the offense.
Okay, we'll get to those. I do think there's one thing being lost, and maybe because Juergens and Watt didn't play in the old days, they don't remember this.
In the old days.
Well, the old days. 99% of fans can't see practice.
Yep.
Right? There's the open practice, which a lot of people go to, but that's one, right? And it's one on August, whatever it is, 10th. In the old days, a lot of people used to go to Lehigh or go to Westchester. A lot of people saw practice so they could have their own observations. You and the other reporters, but you're our reporter, you have the eyes on this. Like, why would you not chart what you see so you could tell us what you saw? Like, I almost think, like, why wouldn't you do this?
Yeah.
Fans can benefit.
I guess my thing on it is, do the stats require context? Yes, absolutely. But so do stats of any game. If I don't watch a Sixers game and I just look at the box score after, I can have an idea of what happened.
Sure.
But somebody that watched it would have a better informed opinion as to why that happened, what the numbers looked like. So, yeah, when I tell you today Jalen was 16-20 with no touchdowns and an interception, you could look at that and say 16-20, you know, that's pretty good. But I have context as to how he looked and how it went. So, yeah, the training camp stats get people worked up. But as long as we're covering training camp, I want to give as much information as possible.
As you should. All right, let's dive into what you saw today, including the stats. Seemed like not a great day for the offense. What did you notice?
So the defense is definitely starting to win these reps a little bit more. The first 2 days of practice, Jalen was completing 93% of his passes, and that's really changed over the last few days. He was 16 of 20 today. He had his first interception of training camp. It was on his, I believe, 65th throw of camp.
Way different than last year.
Last year he made it 305, set a franchise record, as we all remember. So this year didn't go as far, and I didn't think it was a good throw from Jalen. It didn't look like he had pressure. From my view, it didn't look like he had pressure in the pocket, kind of threw it off his back foot, lofted it down the sideline to AJ, and it was underthrown. It was probably a yard or two behind AJ, and Quinyon picked it up off. So that was not a good throw from Jalen. I thought he held on to the ball a lot today. There were a few 7-on-7 reps where he held on to the ball. They ran a few reps in the red zone. And to me, red zone reps are drills the offense should win. I think they have the advantage in those drills. And you should be able to throw the ball into the end zone in those drills. And both times Jalen was in the red zone, he ran the ball in. So, again, it's a touchdown. It counts in a game. But in practice, to me, that's a win for the defense because they held him from throwing it. So just not the sharpest day. This past Saturday, I thought accuracy was his issue. Not as much today. Today, I just thought the coverage was really, really good, and the defense won the day.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here after Eagles training camp practice. All right, Elliot, one of the things that was obvious early was when Sirianni spoke, he said Andrew Mukuba was not going to practice today.
Yeah.
It's the rookie safety second-round pick out of Texas. What do you know about that? And what's the level of concern right now with safety? Because to me, it came in as a thinner position anyway, and now their rookie, who's trying to get up to speed in Vic's defense, is missing some time here. What's going on with Mukuba and now the concern with the position?
Yeah, so Mukuba practiced on Saturday. Towards the end of the day, towards the end of a team rep, he got hurt, and it's a shoulder injury. So he was not out there at practice today. Nick was asked about it prior to practice. Sometimes it's tough to get a read on what Nick really is trying to say with the injury questions. I think for the most part, he's just trying to get out of them without giving anything away. But to me, it didn't sound like, oh, he'll be out there tomorrow. I think he could potentially be out a few days. They do practice tomorrow. They're off Wednesday, and then they're back at it Thursday, Friday. So we'll see if he gets back on the field this week. But the bottom line is this. They have got to trade for a safety. They can keep, you know, giving Sidney Brown reps and Andre Sam and Tristan McCollum and see if maybe one of them plays well. I think they're just wasting time. You cannot go into the season with any of those guys your full-time starters. And if you do, you have to have some level of veteran backup. They have nobody next to Reed Blankenship that's played any amount of snaps. You have all those 13 draft picks next year. They got to go out and trade for a veteran or sign a veteran safety.
Have you seen Cooper DeJean out there at all at safety since the first day we saw him?
Yeah, so Cooper is playing more and more at safety when they're in their base. So you're right that when they're in their base defense, they could put Cooper there, and maybe they decide just to move him there full-time. But I think he's so good in that nickel role, and so many great receivers line up in the nickel now. So it's an important job. I mean, last year he was lined up against CeeDee Lamb. He was lined up against Ja'Marr Chase. They play the Vikings last year? No,
they did not.
No. Mm-hmm. So he was lined up against really good receivers in the slot, and he will be again this year. They play the Vikings this year. Mm-hmm. He will be up against Justin Jefferson. So it is something when they're in base, they'll be putting Cooper at safety, it seems. But even that's not decided because Vic Fangio said that Cooper will basically play if, you know, a safety stands out, then he'll come on the field for Keeley on the outside. If Keeley plays well, then he'll come on the field for the safety. So Cooper could be a potential long-term fit, but I don't think this year that's the solution.
It feels like they're thinking about Cooper almost like a super utility player in baseball. We're just going to put him in this spot because we have a hole here, or you know what I mean? Like move him around based on what else we have. So do you think it would, if this safety issue continues, do you think it'd be easier for them to find an adequate slot corner and play Cooper at safety? Like, I wonder if that's how this ends up. Not that they want to move Cooper off a slot, right, but maybe they could find a B-minus at slot corner, and then they know he can play safety well, and then that's how they fill the problem.
Yeah, that's a potential possibility. I do think Cooper, and look, we have not seen him play on the outside a lot. Maybe his game will translate to the outside. But watching Cooper for a year, I think he is best served in the middle of the field, whether that is at safety where he's running down the field or whether it's nickel where he starts off in the box. I just think he's a physical player. He's a good tackler. He goes after the football. So I want him on the inside. I don't want him on the perimeters. But you're right that if they can find an adequate nickel, then maybe you do make him your starting safety. But I think that's confusing it too much. Cooper was really good in his role last year. He's in his second year. I don't know if he's – this isn't a six-year veteran we're talking about. I don't want to put too much on his plate. I want the best version of Cooper, and I want him at his best position, not because Keeley's struggling at his or Sidney Brown struggling at his. I want Cooper playing the position they think he can have the biggest impact at. And so that's why I do think going out of the roster to find a solution is the move.
Is it fair to bring up the obvious? Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was on this football team.
Yeah.
Like, they had a safety that obviously helped them win, and they traded him for – is Kenyon Green practicing?
Yeah, he started to practice, but he's not a lock to make the team. And he certainly is not competing for the job so far with Tyler Steen.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Eagles have tried to – they've moved past it. Now this is their team now, but – Elliot, if they trade for a safety and they have and Howie speaks down at the press conference, then that's going to be one of the questions. Like, you traded away CJGJ to have to go fill the spot.
So I agree with the premise of what you're saying. I would just say that the kind of details of it would be they saved a lot of cash by trading Chauncey. If you trade, let's say, a fourth or a fifth round pick, it might not even cost that. But for some, you know, average NFL has played in the league, is just, you know what you're getting
decent
for him, safety.
Player, yeah.
He's probably not costing you. I think Chauncey saved them $8 million in cash. So there is that difference. But you're right. By getting rid of Chauncey, they opened up a hole on the roster. They were hoping that that hole could be filled by one of these young players. And look, we're only on day four. But Makuba is the smallest safety in the NFL. So I don't know if you can be stunned that he's been hurt 4 days into camp. And then the other guys have never played. So they got to find a solution there.
All right, Elliot Shore Parks with us here live from training camp after practice. Elliot, let's talk about some players that are standing out. And seem like today you and I noticed a similar name, Montrell Johnson, undrafted free agent running back. I went out there on one of the breaks, and I was watching him run. I was like, he looks like he can run a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, as two football guys, we obviously have an eye for talent.
And
right?
Hugh's not part of this anymore because he wants it. You want a dome too, don't you? You're a dome guy?
Oh, well, of course. I mean, a dome is – here's my thing. People that love football should want a dome because you're going to see better football in a dome than you will
outside.
You'll
see sanitized football. You'll see players at their best.
I would love to see the best players in the world not be hampered by weather. I want to see them be able to play their game at the best possibility, and that happens more in a dome.
But the games would not be unique anymore. They'd all look the same. Eventually, if everyone has a dome or plays in nice weather, all football looks the same.
Yeah, that's fine. Weather and snow games are cool, I agree, but you know what else is cool? Watching Saquon run for 300 yards because he's not running in the snow.
Yeah, we'll never get a fun snow game again.
We've had two in 15 years.
And we'll talk about them forever.
Agreed, but in between there, they could have had...
It was a fun game.
It was a fun game, I agree. But, you know, again, the best example I can use is last year. The Eagles played the Rams in a dome, and they played them in snow. In the dome, they ran all over them and won convincingly. In the snow, their season almost came to an end because weather was a factor. I want the Eagles, and especially this roster, to play in the best possible conditions to get the best possible play out of their talented players. I can give up being cold in the stands for that.
Well, that's you, but I think most disagree. All right, let's go back to the original question, which was guys maybe are making a jump. Who's standing out?
So Montrell Johnson Jr., the running back out of Florida. Now, the tough thing is his path to the roster is a crowded one.
Right.
Obviously, safe to say Saquon's going to make it. Shipley is going to make it. And A.J. Dillon's been really good so far, so I think he's going to make the team. But Montrell Johnson Jr., he was an undrafted running back out of Florida. He looked good. He's getting the most reps of all that second tier of running backs after the guys that are going to make it. I think you can see that he's a physical guy. He has some speed. And I've seen a lot of running backs, you know, come here, you know, throughout the years here. He stands out. So I think he stood out. Another name I would keep an eye on that might directly impact someone we all think is going to make the roster is Elijah Cooks. Not a veteran NFL player, but not a rookie either. Him and Johnny Wilson, similar body type, both big, tall. He has outplayed Johnny Wilson so far, in my opinion. Johnny Wilson has not had a good start to camp. Today, I believe it was 11-on-11 drill. He was in the end zone against Mack McWilliams. Mack McWilliams, one of the smaller corners in the league. Johnny Wilson, one of the bigger receivers in the league. Mack McWilliams ripped the ball out of his hands and forced an incompletion. On the flip side of that, Elijah Cooks has made a lot of really nice contested catches down the sideline. So Johnny Wilson has draft pedigree, and you're not going to, you know, ideally not cut. I think he was a fifth round pick. A year later, Elijah Cooks, they didn't invest that kind of capital in. But Elijah Cooks has looked like the better player through 4 days.
Are we talking about a fifth receiver? Is Terrence Marshall the four, or is the fourth spot up for grabs?
So I think Terrence Marshall is probably the four, but again, it comes to Johnny Wilson. So it'll go A.J. Devontae. Dotson, I think, is pretty locked in as that number three.
Right, then there's a huge gap.
Then I think there is a gap. Terrence Marshall has had a good start to camp, didn't do a ton today, but he had a good offseason as well. He's been pretty impressive. Johnny Wilson wasn't here for the practices that were available to the media in the offseason. And again, I think Elijah Cooks is outplaying him. So if I did my 53-man roster today, I would put Johnny Wilson on it. But if I did my 53-man roster just based off the 4 days of practice, I think Elijah Cooks has been better. But I do think Terrence Marshall will be that fourth guy, him or Wilson if they make the team.
Other side of the ball, I saw Saturday you posted something, a press conference with Jalix Hunt. How has he looked? Because, you know, that edge spot, we know Nolan on one side, but the other side, it feels like there's snaps open, and they signed Uche, they signed Ojulari, but Jalix came on at the end of the year. Does he look like he's ready to take a leap?
He's been awesome. Just physically, you know, I know he played safety, but you just look at him out there, and he has the exact body type you want for an edge rusher in today's NFL. I guess he's, you know, potentially a little on the lighter side, but he's long, he's fast. He has a really quick first step off the line of scrimmage, which is huge and something the Eagles really value. He's probably had 2 sacks in training camp so far. Obviously, you can't hit Jalen, and who knows, maybe in a game he gets away from it. But he has caused pressure so far through camp. So I think he's been really good. We got a chance to talk to him yesterday, and he talked about how this offseason he spent time talking to some of the best edge rushers in the NFL, trying to learn from them. And the thing that comes with the uncertainty on the defensive line, what comes with it is question marks and worry they won't be good. But the flip side of that is upside. And there's been days of camp so far when Hunt, Nolan Smith, Ojamo, Jordan Davis, like you, when they're all clicking at the same time, then you can really look and see what potential this defense has to be really, really good.
All right, how are you holding up in the heat? Today was the hottest day.
It was warm today. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to get a tan, so like I'll deal with it. I don't put sunglasses on outside. I try not to, at least because I don't want to get a sunglass tan, but it was definitely very hot. It was easily the hottest day, and tomorrow is going to be even hotter.
So like this is the point of camp where you start to realize, like, are you ready? Like, are you really in football shape?
Yeah, I think I worked hard during the offseason.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know you told me.
So I feel like I came in football shape.
So you and Jordan Davis, it both paid off.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I didn't lose 26 pounds like he did. I would probably be in the hospital if I lost 26 pounds. But, I feel good. And, look, Jordan Davis, I know we haven't got a chance to talk about this, but in all seriousness, I think he had a life-changing offseason. Like, you guys just got a chance to talk to him. I think I've known him since he came here to Philadelphia. He just seems like he matured a ton. And you can certainly say, well, why did it take 3 years? And I think that's a fair criticism. He's a first-round pick. But it happens when it happens. Mm-hmm. And just listening to him talk, I would be surprised if he ended up going back to his old ways during the season. It seems to me like the decisions he made were football-related, but he sees the impact of it in his everyday life. And we all like to feel in good shape, right? You're better at your job. Yeah. And I think he feels that. I'd be pretty surprised if he went back to, you know, being out of shape.
And Hugh was asking about it seems like there's a plan and a routine. It wasn't just like, oh, I worked out harder. Because then you could kind of fall off that a little bit, right? Like, well, it seemed like there's a diet change. It seems like there's a mentality change. And Hugh was mentioning whether or not it clicked or someone told him, like, this is a contract year, right? He got the fifth-year option, so he's got that. But
he's trying to get paid.
This is the year he could earn a long-term contract.
Well, and the number that really stood out to me was, so they told him they wanted him to come to shape in the 330s, so anywhere from 330 to 339. And if he would have showed up at 337, 338, you'd be like, okay, you hit your goal. But that could have just been the result of 5 days before you get here, right. just not eating, right? So he comes in at 330. That's not – you don't lose that amount of weight. I mean, maybe he could. But you don't lose that amount of weight a week before camp. That is the result of months of discipline and putting in the work. So, I mean, he came in again almost 10 pounds lighter than they wanted to, which is a good sign of all the work he put in.
Yeah, and I think it's smart for him because now, like I said, as a reformed fat guy, you have 10 pounds to play with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have that, you know, when you have, because I'm pretty sure, I didn't want to get too much in detail with it, but I'm pretty sure he has his cheat meals and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So he's giving himself a little bit of grace as far as, you know, if his weight fluctuates during the season, because that looks like that's the problem. The summertime is not a problem for him to lose weight.
It's the
season, and it's those holidays, man. That's the biggest thing.
You blaming Thanksgiving?
Well, they're all coming up. Yeah, man, Christmas, listen, best time of the year.
I played with a guy who had to weigh in every week, and his biggest issue was that during the holidays, that's because mom cooking the meals, and they're cooking hefty meals, and you have to try to maintain your weight as much as you possibly can.
Well, the other thing about the holiday season is it's cold outside and it's dark when you wake up. During the summer, you wake up, it's sunny, you can get up, it's easy to do. During the winter, I just think it's tougher.
It's hard to find that motivation
and work out. Yeah. But again, you guys were around him. He just seems like a happier individual at this lighter weight. So I hope for the football player, but also just for the person, it seems like he's had a really transformative offseason.
Yeah, and he's an important player. I mean, I mentioned it to him. They lost a lot of snaps at defensive tackle. Like, there's a hole there. I know Jomo's playing well, but if he plays well, I'm sure they want him on the field. He's not cheap. He was a first-round pick. He has the talent. Like, if he is in shape and plays well, I'm sure they'll give him the chance to, like, make us take you off the field. You keep going.
He might be the first player in my time covering the league where I am almost directly tying a breakout year to him to his snap count. Most players, it would be, all right, so let's just use Jalen, right? All right, 4,000 yards
statistics.
Passing. Right, it's things like that. If you told me the snap count he played this year, I could tell you if he had a good year or not because they're not going to put him out there if he's not playing well. What did he play, something like 400 snaps last year? If he can get close to 600, I think then, A, they're getting what they need from him, but it also means he is playing at a high level.
Well, and it also means he's going to be an $18 or $20 million player next offseason.
Yeah, but that's why it was smart to pick up the option.
I was against it, and I
thought it was a smart
move. I was wrong. Now that it's played out, I'm...
Well, you could end up being right. I mean, we'll see.
But I've changed my mind. Like, I'm glad they did it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I actually thought it would motivate him to not have it picked up. But obviously, he started his process before. They had more information than I did.
They must have seen it.
They saw it. I was concerned, if you pick this up, where's his motivation? But that doesn't seem to be an issue anymore.
The last thing I'll say about Jordan Davis is, obviously, we've covered it at length. He's lost a ton of weight. It's great for him. I do think sometimes we lean too much on just, well, he loses weight and he'll be great. He's never been a great pass rusher in his football life.
Yep.
And, that is maybe a part of being overweight, and he's not right. But ultimately, he has not shown he can rush the passer. So, yes, he's in great shape, but you don't just lose 20 pounds and all of a sudden you're able to do it. He's going to have to work a lot on his technique and, frankly, do things he's not done in his football life. Now, it'll be easier to do at a better weight, but he still has to go out there and show he can do it.
Yeah, and I think he kind of touched on that, and I think that's how he kind of felt, because when I asked him about the number, he said one more than he had last year because he didn't want to put too much pressure on himself.
Right.
So, to your point, he kind of knows that pass rushing might not be his strong suit. But if he works on his technique and he gets better at it, he could be an effective person on third down.
He could also be a good one without a bunch of sacks. Like, Milton Williams got paid because we know he can rush the quarterback. I mean, Ojomo, right?
He didn't have a single sack last year.
Right, but you look at some of the stats, like, he's got a good pass rush win rate. He puts pressure on the quarterback. That's what Jordan – if Jordan has four sacks, but he gets to the quarterback and someone else cleans it up, we'll know.
Now,
the difference is, though,
Jordan Davis was the 13th overall pick in the draft. So we can look at Jordan Davis differently now. But if he does not become an effective pass rusher, then the Eagles, without question, would probably have some level of regret with that pick. Doesn't mean he's not a good locker room guy. Doesn't mean he's not a good player.
I agree. Yeah.
But they drafted him with the intention of him being on the field on third down and passing situations. So I think they still very much hope that's what it turns
into. You try to draft a Pro Bowler at 13.
Yeah, or at least someone that can be on the field in the most important downs.
Money down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been on most of those. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. Get in some cool air. And
can't wait.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Talk to
there
you.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks with us. Hugh, the one thing of our conversation with Elliot that hit me is that safety spot. I mean, it does feel thin, Hugh, as much as they have a lot of talent on the defense, right? Up front with Jalen, Nolan, We hope, we're hoping on Jordan. Linebacker could be better because of Jahad Campbell's talent. Corner should be still good with Quinyon and whatever they do with Cooper. I felt all from the moment they traded Chauncey, I was like, this is a thin safety room. It's thin.
And you talked about that quite a bit. I think what's going to happen is this. We'll probably go into the first game and see what we have and how it's going to work out. But, yeah, it's gonna be one of those things where it might be something we have to, you know.
Can I jump in here real quick? Sorry.
Yeah,
we just got some pretty big news.
Go ahead.
Kind of Phillies related.
Okay.
Manuel Class A, non-disciplinary paid leave as part of MLB's sports betting investigation. So,
oh, no.
A huge trade target for the Phillies, potentially, is being suspended right now.
So, yeah, that's according to Jeff Passan. Second Guardians pitcher, right? It was Luis Ortiz.
Yep.
That was about a month ago that came down. What is going on in Cleveland is the question.
They gambling.
There's two players, two pitchers on the same team.
That's crazy.
All right, well, I would think that clearly takes him off the radar. I mean, you just can't.
I would have to imagine.
Even if you think he might be innocent, what if he's not? I mean, and then you get a player that's suspended. So it just makes it harder on the Phillies. He was just one extra option off the board. And now, right, every team's looking for bullpen. So if there were six good relief pitchers
now,
out there,
the price of the brick went up for everybody else.
Right, now there's five. Yeah. Right? So that's a huge one. Emmanuel Clase placed on leave due to an investigation around Major League Baseball. That is a big one. Boy, we got a lot of big baseball news breaking this hour. That Bryce Harper thing, getting
it's
in Manfred's face.
Yeah.
My goodness, this is going to be a big week. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's grab a call. We haven't got some calls. We appreciate everyone. Hold on. Black Gritty wants to institutionalize Hugh. What's up, Black Gritty?
Remember, kids, when you're out gambling, make sure you use an interpreter. Because without an interpreter, you're getting suspended, brother. You're getting suspended.
They're all getting suspended.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We just need an interpreter. No habla inglés. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm safe and free to gamble. Oh, Tiny. I mean, I'm just saying, we know what it is. Hugh.
What?
You know I love you, man.
But
I'm about to put you in a padded room, okay?
What?
So, no matter what anybody says about a dome, anybody else in the world, but you... One of the voices of the people, a man who gets to sit in the lap of luxury of trailers and booths and suites. You out here talking about the weather. You don't play no more, and you trying to take my joy away while you out here with your little privilege your media pass.
I was thinking of thinking about y'all.
Family. You weren't thinking about us. You stop it.
You ain't thinking about us. And you know how much you penny pension mammy jammy. You know how expensive a dome is, and they gonna take it out my taxes. You, if they ain't paying for it, I want extra money taken out of your pocket. You stop it. You blew too many people. You got too much stuff going on. I'm embarrassed by it. You're ashamed, and you're punk school McDoobie today. Watch yourself, Hugh Douglas. You know I love you, but man.
Black Gritty, we appreciate it.
I was looking out for the people.
No, you were not.
No, you weren't.
You were looking out squarely for yourself, and we all saw through it.
I'm a people person.
You are a Hugh person.
You're not a people person at all, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not really.
I try.
You're personable, and yeah, but people person.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah. These arguments are so thin.
I mean, I'm a work in progress.
Yeah, well, you are a work in progress.
I think it's a little too late for that.
What are you talking about?
You're in your 50s, man.
You're going to ruin the next 30 years of Philadelphia football because of your insecurities.
What do you mean? I'm not insecure.
Well, 215-592-9494. We'll run a bunch of your calls when we get back. A lot of people want to get into the dome discussion. Say no to the dome. Hugh is saying yes to the dome. I hate the idea when I took that survey. All right, we'll get to more on the Bryce Harper story that came out of ESPN.
It sounded like it was you downplayed it. It sounded like it was way worse than what you reported.
Get the bleep out of here, said Bryce Harper to Rob Manfred.
With a bat in hand.
Woo, that adds to it. That's threatening. All right, all that coming up.
That is very menacing.
It is.
I'm sitting there with the bat in his hand, quiet.
If I had a bat in my hand, I did that day to put me in jail. I'm just saying.
they would have. Yeah,
if it would have been me. Oh, my God.
We'll get to all that, the Phillies trade deadline stuff. I want Eugenio Suarez, and I give up a lot to get him. Also, an update to the Jerry Jones, Micah Parsons saga, and you can react to anything you heard from Jordan Davis, Dallas Goedert, Elliott Parsons, right here in the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.